Well, hello again, Anchor Baptist Church. It's so wonderful to be with you all today. All the things I got to remember, make sure the mic's on, talk to the camera, all these new things. So if I forget, forgive me. But it's exciting to be here. Thank you for allowing us and Pastor Turner for inviting me to be here today. It's such a privilege. We've so enjoyed being with you at the Missions Conference back in October. You were all such a blessing to us. So pray that today we'd be able to be a blessing to you. And do thank you for praying for us. You know, one of the things they say in college and missions class is, you know, you don't need money on deputation, you need prayer. So we thank you so much for your prayers for us. Just a little update to where we're at. We now have 7 churches supporting us. We're at about 14% support, so that's exciting. God's providing. I did quit my job back in October, and it's been amazing to see how God's been providing in tremendous ways for all of our needs. He is faithful. Amen. And we are hoping in next month to be leaving full-time. We have a big schedule in Alberta, lots of meetings planned. Pray that those would remain. We're kind of looking into some plan B if those get canceled. So our biggest prayer right now, just pray for wisdom. Pray that we would make the right decision, whether we should go and travel, whether we should stay here for now. There's a lot up in the air, but we know God knows, and we know He will open the door and He will close the door that He sees fit. So just pray for that for us, and that God would guide us and would lead us, that He would get us to Quebec in His timing, that we can serve. You know, we don't have a lot of time left, really, before the Lord comes. He may not come for another 100 years. You know, Paul thought that Jesus was coming. He may tarry, but we believe He's coming soon. So just pray that we could stay faithful to serve. You know, I hope it's your prayer that when you get to heaven, God would say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You know, these are strange times we're living in. We would love to be able to see you all again. I know we got to meet many of you last time. We'd love to see all of you in person, but we have to be here via live stream. But I hope you're encouraged. I hope you're blessed. It was so good to see this new renovation. That's exciting what God is doing. You know, the church is not about, it is, but it's not only about encouraging the believers. It's about reaching the lost. And what an opportunity. What an exciting opportunity, even in these strange times. So I hope that you're encouraged, thankful to see what God is doing here through your church, through your testimony. So thank you for staying faithful, Anchor Baptist Church. Thank you again for the opportunity to allow us to be here with you today virtually. If you would take your Bibles, open to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy in chapter number 4. The message that really has been, to be honest, God's slowly been working on my heart with this for, I'd say, the past year. A message that I'd wanted to, I guess, develop as a, if you want to call it a deputation message, just a good, you know, all-inclusive ministry emphasis, if you will. And it started long before COVID came. Surprising. I'll use some illustrations so you can know what I'm talking about with that. But a message on truth. You know, there's such a need for truth in our world today. There's a lack of it. There's a hate for it. Falsehood is called truth. Truth is called a lie. You know, there's a need for truth. We'll read in 2 Timothy in chapter number 4. We'll read the first 5 verses here this morning as we get started. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1. Paul here speaking to Timothy, he says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come," and I think we can agree that time has come, "when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Let's open this afternoon in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your grace, your goodness to us. Thank you for being our friend. Thank you for those old hymns that we can be encouraged by. Lord, the liberal Christian world has all this new music. And while some may have good meaning, Lord, just the old hymns of the faith, the doctrine, the encouragement. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you that we can be encouraged through song or the wonderful singing today. Lord, I pray that through this message you would speak, Lord, and not me. Lord, I pray that you would be with me. Pray that this would be an encouragement, a challenge. Thank you for Anchor Baptist Church, for Pastor Turner, and Lord, their faithfulness to us as missionaries, Lord, their faithfulness to the community, to be a light, to be a testimony. Pray you bless them, Lord, may we all be encouraged through your word this afternoon. We pray, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Two brothers were getting ready to boil some eggs to color for Easter. The older brother said to the younger, I'll give you a dollar if you let me break three of these on your head. You promise? Asked the younger. I promise. So the older boy broke two eggs over his brother's head. Standing stiff for fear of the gooey mess that would get all over him, the younger brother said, when is the third egg coming? The older brother said, it's not. That would cost me a dollar. You know, people aren't always truthful. And a funny example there of not really telling the whole truth. Adrian Rogers said, if you take part of the truth and try to make that part of the truth all the truth, then that part of the truth becomes an untruth. You know, all the examples that I've been kind of thinking of over the past year, really it started with Kanye West back in November 2019. Who remembers that when Kanye West became a Christian? Did he really? Is this a show? Is it real? Will it last? What's the truth? You know, we don't know what to believe is the truth sometimes. Benny Hinn, apparently a while ago, Benny Hinn renounced the prosperity gospel, said it's wrong, all this, you know, preaching the gospel for money. Was that real? Was that just another show to get, who knows? What's the truth? Unfortunately, we don't have this blessing up here in Canada of Chick-fil-A, but you may remember when Chick-fil-A apparently lost their Christian standards and no longer supported God's ideal of marriage. Was that true? Was it not? There was, you probably heard stories from both sides. People for Chick-fil-A, people against Chick-fil-A. What do you believe? What's the truth? We could spend all day talking about nowadays COVID. Is it real? Is it coming? Is it dangerous? Is it deadly? Will it spread? Will it not? Masks, do they work? Do they not? Look down south. What did Trump really say? What's the truth? Who's the president? There's a lack of truth. We are seemingly in a day today in which the truth has never been more hated and slandered or more desperately needed. We see people against the truth. We see the truth gets censored. We see that stating the truth is considered insensitive. Maybe you've come across that. Maybe you just want to give people a sense of reality. You're not doubting what's happening, whatever you may want to be talking about, whether it's COVID or not. You may just want to state the truth, and people say, oh, you're insensitive. If the truth doesn't align with someone's opinions or political motivations, it's hated, it's slandered, it's silenced. The world screams at us that truth is relative. It's not absolute. Yet when views are stated they don't agree with, the ones holding those views are wrong and dangerous. What must we do in this world where truth, there's a void of truth, there's a need for truth? You know, the Bible says that we must speak the truth in love. I don't know about you, but I find that hard. I find it difficult. You know, I want to give the truth, and sometimes I get so honestly frustrated. Sometimes we want to just go out and tell the truth, but we must remember to tell the truth in love. Someone once said, if you want to tell people the truth, make them laugh or they'll kill you. Yeah. You don't want to think too much about that. As we look here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I want to ask, will you choose to stand for the truth in this day and age when truth is hated, when wrong is called truth, when truth is called a lie? If so, I hope we'll make it clear this morning. We want to look through four aspects of the truth that you must understand. Four aspects of the truth. Look at verse number 1. Paul, speaking to Timothy, young pastor, he's given him a challenge. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. The first aspect we see here in verse 1 of the truth cannot be declined. Now, that might sound like, what? There's people that decline the truth, and I'll explain that hopefully through the message here. But it says, he's charging Timothy, he says, I charge thee before the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Jesus Christ is coming back one day, amen? Jesus Christ will one day judge this world. He will reward those who are faithfully served him. You know what? People may want to say it's not happening, but the truth cannot be declined. It will happen. There is an end coming. There is the book of Revelation, the prophecies of what is coming. It will happen. People cannot decline that truth. In Revelation 20, we read of this judgment that says God will judge the quick and the dead. In Revelation 20, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The truth cannot be declined. One day when every single person stands before God, there's no option to say, no, I don't believe that. No, that's not the truth for me. It cannot be declined. There is no option. There is no alternative. Someone once said, facts do not cease to exist because they are ignored. There's truths that are ignored, and one day people will not be able to stand before God and say, no, that doesn't apply to me. No, I don't believe that. Philippians verse 2, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. One day, God will judge the quick and the dead. And Joe Biden and Donald Trump and Justin Trudeau and George Soros and whatever name you want to fill in the blank that you maybe are thinking of, they will bow before Jesus Christ. The truth cannot be declined. There is no option. There is no alternative. When you sign a user agreement on a new software on your computer, you'll usually have a little pop-up that says the terms and agreements that you always scroll down and don't read, right? I don't know who would actually read those. It's a waste of time. Sometimes it's important. But you have two options, accept and decline. If you decline, you can't install the program. You cannot decline it. And the same is true with God's truth. You cannot decline it. You cannot ignore it. The Bible says much of those who attempt to. In 2 Peter verse chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, but these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. There is judgment coming. God will judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. There is no declining the truth. Better a cruel truth than a comfortable delusion. You know, I want to give a context here because this sounds like, oh, judgment and fire, and yes, it's coming, and yes, the wicked will get what's coming to them. But we must remember that in 1 Timothy 2, it says that God will have all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. Sometimes Christians are seen as, oh, you hateful Christians, you're talking about hell and damnation, and it may be a cruel truth that judgment will come, but better that cruel truth than the comfortable delusion that it's okay and there is no judgment. So yes, we must remember that judgment will come, but we must not forget that God would rather have mercy, that God would rather bring all to the truth. We must not forget that context. That leads us to point number two. The truth cannot be declined, but the truth must be declared. Verse number two, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You must speak the truth in love, and yes, judgment will come, and the truth cannot be declined. But because God wants all to come unto the truth, we must declare that truth, and we know that God's word is the truth. John chapter 8, verse 32, ye shall know the truth shall make you free. There is truth in this world, and God's word is the ultimate source of truth, and it is truth. And Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. There is truth today. In a world destitute of truth, in a world where people are longing for truth, and they see the news, what's true, what's not. And while the media and the liberals, perhaps, and those who have wicked agendas would like to try to tell us what the truth is, we have the truth, and we must get out and declare it, and we must get out and preach the word and tell others of the truth. Amen. John 16, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The church in 1 Timothy 3, we read, is the pillar and ground of the truth. And as the church, as the promoters of the truth and the preachers of the truth, we must not back down in these days. Yes, we may have to change what we do. Yes, we may have to be subtle perhaps. And we know there's communist countries where they can't have church publicly or they'll be in prison. We may have to change, but we must not stop declaring the truth. We must not stop sharing the truth in this day and in this age. It says, that verse, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Proverbs 16, verse 6, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged. By the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. Oh, there's a need for truth in this world. There's a need to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, to declare the truth. George Orwell said, in a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. You know, there's a need for change in our society. I'm sure we could all agree. And it's amazing the division that we see in this world, whether it be Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, left, right, whatever. Among Christians even, there's division. My cousin, who his family is missionaries in Mexico, he was at Crown College and actually just got engaged. But when he and his girlfriend were dating, and he went to visit his girlfriend at their church, and that church is divided. The maskers sit on this side, the unmaskers sit on this side. And a friend of my cousin's fiance, girlfriend at the time, was excited to meet him. But then when she found out he didn't wear a mask, she wouldn't even say hello. Such division. We must not be divided in these times. We must come back to the truth. You know, there's so much that even perhaps needs to change politically, and people talk about whether there'd be another civil war with all the unrest happening, and there's Christians saying Jesus is the answer, and that's true, but then at the same time, there's people saying, yes, but we must fight for our freedoms. You know, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. Do we want to be radical? Do we want to bring change? Just promote the truth. Just stand on the truth. That's what we need. Never be afraid to raise your voice for honesty and truth and compassion against injustice and lying and greed. If people all over the world would do this, it would change the earth. So said William Faulkner. Adrian Rogers said, it's better to be divided by truth than to be united in error. It's better to speak the truth that hurts and then heals than falsehood that comforts and then kills. It is better to be hated for telling the truth than to be loved for telling a lie. It is better to stand alone with the truth than to be wrong with a multitude. It is better to ultimately succeed with the truth than to temporarily succeed with a lie. Oh, we must declare the truth in this day and age. It's a revolutionary act. We're seen as radical. There's people who would laugh at you if you were even watching, perhaps, a live stream. What do you care about that? What are you wasting your time with that? No, it's the truth. We must know the truth. We must declare the truth. We must preach the word. The instant in season, out of season. Once there was a stubborn disputer of Lincoln, and he seemed unconvinced, and Lincoln said, well, let's see, how many legs does a cow have? Well, four, of course, came the reply disgustedly. That's right, agreed Lincoln. Now suppose you call the cow's tail a leg. How many legs would the cow have then? Why, five, of course, was the confident reply. And Lincoln said, that's where you're wrong. Calling a cow's tail a leg doesn't make it a leg. The truth. We need to stand for the truth. We need to proclaim the truth. We don't have much time. You know, one of the things that we've kind of been praying about and seeing what God would have is perhaps just drop everything and go to Quebec. We can't travel. We can't have meetings. No place is open. Churches are restricted. Well, what are we sitting around? Let's go to Quebec. We're not sure what God would have. That's why we need wisdom. But, you know, Psalm 30, verse 9, the psalmist said, what profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hey, we can't stand for the truth when we're no longer here. We can't be a voice for the truth if we're not here. So while we're here, we must declare the truth. Jesus said that the harvest is great and the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into his harvest? Are you praying for laborers? Are you praying for those to go and preach the truth to this lost world? Are you being a laborer, whether you go to the mission field and, oh, there's a need for missionaries, oh, there's a need for preachers, for pastors here in Canada? Are you willing to be a laborer for the cause of Christ? Are you willing to be a faithful layperson in the church? Are you willing to go to your neighbors, to your coworkers, to those around you and just preach the truth and declare the truth? There's such a need. Truth will be declined, but the truth must be declared. Third, this afternoon, the truth will be denied. Verses 3 and 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. See, the truth cannot be declined. One day, truth will come, but the truth will be denied. And we see that through many examples in society today, people denying the truth, people saying, oh, that's not true, that doesn't apply, or people saying truth is relative. Sometimes it's laughable. I think it was Pastor Mackay shared an article, I can't remember what the article was, but I think his caption was, I don't know whether to laugh or be angry. We look and we're like, people deny the truth. As a funny illustration, I wasn't planning on putting this, but I saw something online the other day that someone said, oh, 2,000 miles, that's not far to drive. I could drive 2,000 miles in a day. Someone came back and said, well, technically not. If you drove 75 miles an hour the whole time, no stopping, 75 miles an hour, which is, I think, 110, 115 kilometers an hour, it would take you 26.666667 hours to drive 2,000 miles. And the person came back and they're like, no, if I didn't stop for like a restroom break, if I didn't stop for food, if I just went the whole time, I think I could do it. By the way, what's your source for that? And the guy just put the math equation. And the guy's like, nah. He still denied the truth. The truth is right there in your face. And sometimes it's laughable. And that's a goofy illustration perhaps. But people deny the truth. When Jesus stood before Pilate, the truth was looking him in the face. Pilate said, what is truth? People will maybe question, what did he mean by that? How did he say it? Was he honest? Was he wanting truth? Was he mocking? Whatever the case may be, there's people today who say, what is truth? Is there truth? Yet when we say, well, the way we as conservative Christians want to live life is true for us, they say, no, that's not. You can't do that. We try to beat them with their own logic, but they're too stubborn to lose. In 1 John 2, we read, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. In, I believe it's Thessalonians, it talks about the Antichrist that says that even now is the spirit of the Antichrist, the deniers, those who say there is no God, those who say that, Psalm says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, deniers. Someone once said, there are two ways to be fooled. One is to believe what isn't true. The other is to refuse to believe what is true. We see that so much in our society today. People refuse to believe what is true. We're right there. Look across the page. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, sometimes the best illustration or the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Now, I'll try to go through these quickly, but to put emphasis where emphasis is needed on some of these verses we see through the Bible of deniers of the truth. We're looking in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. The truth is not always beautiful, nor beautiful words the truth. You know, sometimes people just want, you got to be nice. You can't be rude. And yes, it's difficult because we need to remember the truth in love, but it's not always going to be pretty. It's not always going to be what people want to hear. People deny what's true. In Isaiah's day, he saw this. Just some verses quickly here in Isaiah 59. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. Man, that's accurate today. Those who depart from evil, those who stand for the truth, they're a prey, they're a target. The Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Same in Jeremiah's day. Jeremiah, the prophet who preached the truth, and there were so many prophets who said the opposite. And Jeremiah was hated for saying what God wanted him to say, for declaring the truth. And in Jeremiah chapter 5, we read, "Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. And though they say, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return." Later in chapter 9 of Jeremiah, "And they bend their tongues like a bow for lies. They are not valiant for the truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil. They know not me, saith the Lord. Take ye heed, every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders, and they will deceive every one his neighbor, will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord." It was Jeremiah way back thousands of years ago, and so true, we see that today. They refuse to know the Lord. The truth is denied. In Romans 1, we know these verses well. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Last passage in this point, in 2 Peter chapter 3. "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, but that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store and reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of God, ungodly men. They cannot be declined. It's coming." But again, we see in verse 8 and 9, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish." Yes, the truth will be denied. And yes, sometimes, I'm sure you can relate, we get so frustrated. We want the truth to prevail in society. We want people to know the truth. We're grieved by the wicked that deny the truth, that refuse to believe in God. But we must remember that God is long-suffering. Peter was speaking to Christians. Notice he says, "is long-suffering to usward." Jesus was patient with us. God was patient with you. And you, I trust, have accepted Christ. Have accepted the truth that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believed in the truth that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, my friend, if you're listening today, perhaps, and maybe you haven't accepted that truth, maybe you don't know if there is any truth, I'm telling you, the Word of God is truth. God says that any that come unto Him, He will in no wise cast out. All who come to God in repentance and faith and believe that Jesus Christ is, He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He promises to give salvation, eternal life to those who repent and trust in Him. If you're watching this broadcast, perhaps, and you don't know what that means, would you reach out to Anchor Baptist Church? Would you seek the truth? Even if you don't know the truth, I'm sure you can see that there's a lack of truth. Would you come to this church that cares for you, that wants you to know the truth? Many deny it. It cannot be declined, and it's the church's job to declare it. Would you seek it today? God's not willing. Lastly, this afternoon, you see that the truth cannot be declined. Truth must be declared, and it will be denied. The truth requires dedication. The truth requires dedication. In verse number 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul, speaking to Timothy, says, "Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Paul says to Timothy, "Timothy, I'm giving you a charge. I'm giving you a challenge. I'm telling you how you can remain faithful in the ministry. God will judge the quick and the dead. God will bring justice." I believe maybe he meant to Timothy, "Timothy, don't worry about the wicked. Don't worry about the world. Don't concern yourself with those on the other side. Just stay faithful to preach the word, to declare the truth. They will deny it. They will ignore it. They will refuse, but watch thou in all things. Endure affliction. Stay faithful. Timothy, stay dedicated to the calling God has placed in your life. And oh, church, would you stay dedicated to the truth today? Would you stay faithful to the truth even when others deny it, even when others refuse to believe? Would you stay faithful and dedicated? Truth is what will keep you in the truth. So many, even in Christendom, so many in the church become apostate. We see people go left in their theology. People deny. People say that they don't believe anymore. And in a day and age when apostasy is rampant in our world, and so many leave the church, and so many men leave the ministry, and even there's scandals, and there's wrong, and there's wickedness and immorality in the church, how can you stay faithful to the truth? How can you stay dedicated and keep on the right path? By just keeping on that right path, not looking to the right hand, not looking to the left. The truth is what will keep you in the truth. If you never depart from the Word of God, if you never doubt the truth, you'll never have to worry about it. It requires dedication. C.S. Lewis said, "You never know how much you really believe anything until its truth or falsehood becomes a matter of life and death to you." Proverbs 23:23 said, "Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding." 2 Peter 3:17-18, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." 2 Timothy 2:15, again, Paul to Timothy, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Be dedicated, be steadfast in the truth. In Ephesians 6:14, speaking of putting on the whole armor of God, it says, "Stand therefore, stand against the devil," is what the passage is talking about, having your loins girt about with truth. This idea of having, the way it's worded, having is a statement of what is to be done before the soldier takes his stand. To stand, having already girded your loins with truth. There's a picture of a soldier back in the day that was to have on their girdle, was to wrap up their cloak so that they wouldn't be stumbling around, they'd be ready to fight. The soldier's to be fully equipped first. He's to take up his position second. The girdle, the first specified, is not properly a weapon at all, but it comes first because the belt, the girdle, kept all other parts of the armor in place. It gave agility to the wearer. It was the most essential piece of equipment, the most essential requirement, so that the soldier could stand armed and ready for the fight. To speak of a well-equipped warrior without a girdle was contradictory. It was just the girdle which produced the free bearing and movement of the necessary attitude of the warrior. We're to be girded. We're to be have on the belt of truth. We're to have all our being, to be prepared to fight. We must start with truth. A warrior would be absent, would be wanting in the absence of the girdle, and so in their spiritual fight, we'd be wanting if we don't have truth. We're unable to fight. We're unable to stick to the right path. We're unable to stay faithful if we don't stay dedicated to the truth. Mark Twain said, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. We stay faithful to the truth if we just stick with it, if we're dedicated, no matter what. Then God will find us faithful. Proverbs 12, verse 19. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. The lip of truth shall be established forever. If you want to stay faithful in a world when truth is falling, when truth is so needed, if you want to stay with the truth, just stay dedicated to the Word of God. Stay dedicated to declare His truth. Desmond Doss was a soldier in the Second World War from Virginia. He was a Seventh-day Adventist. Maybe you know the story of Desmond Doss. He would not hold a gun. He wanted to join the U.S. military. He did not want to stay home while others went to fight. But he was what they called a conscientious objector. He would not hold a rifle. He would not even pick up a gun. When commanded by his captain, his drill sergeant in boot camp to pick up a gun, and he refused, he faced the court-martial. And he faced potential prison for the rest of the war because he refused to obey his commanding officer. Now, he did go on to fight in the war as a medic. He went and he rescued soldiers, lowered them down a cliff, fighting against the Japanese, and he saved many, many people's lives through just going and saving them. While he refused to fight, he went to save. Well, there was a movie made about the life of Desmond Doss, and in one scene in the movie, when he was facing prison, when he was about to be locked away for the rest of the war because he refused to pick up a gun, then he told him, "Would you just pick up the gun? It's just a gun. You don't have to fire it. Would you just do what they told you? Would you just pick up the gun and move on?" In one scene, he'd found a girl and he married her. And in one scene, he said to her, "I just don't know how I could live with myself if I don't remain true to what I believe." We can relate to that today. Whatever aspect it may be, however you view things, and there are things that maybe aren't black and white, be it masks, vaccines, whatever. What do you believe? Do you believe the truth? Do you believe the truth of God's Word? How can you live with yourself if you don't remain true to God's truth? We may face persecution. We may face more difficulties. But now is not the time for the church to back down. I was thinking today, in this day and age when the church must be essential and the church must take a stand, go back a few hundred years through history. Think of our ancestors, those before us who were persecuted and killed for our freedoms. We had the freedom of religion. We had freedom to worship and to be a church because of those who sacrificed before us. And maybe it's our time to make a sacrifice for the next generation. Will we be dedicated to the truth no matter what? Will we take a stand for church? Will we take a stand for truth even when we're oppressed and restricted? Will we take a stand so that truth can prevail in our society? Oh, church, will you declare the truth? Will you be dedicated to the truth? We don't know what God has planned. I'm sure He has great things. Oh, I'm praying for a revival. I'm praying for God to do a great work. I often think of my good friends from college. And as much as I wanted to get out of college and get out of the tests and classes, I do miss it sometimes. And my good friends, I just pray that God would give me and my generation a chance to be faithful, to see God do something great. I can't remember who I heard say it recently, that God has a Red Sea moment for every generation. God has a moment of doing wonders and doing great works for every generation. And it's our opportunity in this generation to see God do something great. But we must declare the truth. We must preach the word. We must be dedicated to the truth no matter what. Oh, church, thank you for being a church that is faithful to the truth. Though you can't perhaps do everything you want to do, though you have to do what you can to stand for the truth while trying to not be shut down because of the government, thank you for taking a stand. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for doing what you can in this community, for the missionaries that you support so that they can go and go to other areas, stand for that same truth. We don't know what tomorrow comes, what we face tomorrow. But we know who holds tomorrow. 2020 was uncertain. 2020 was, no one knew what to expect, but isn't it amazing to see how God has been faithful? 2020 has come and God has met every single need and provided more and continues to provide more. He is faithful. What a friend we have in Jesus, and we can say, great is thy faithfulness. Will you stand for God's truth today?